بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Yesterday we did the first 2.5 pages of Surah Al-Imran in Taraweeh. Today we read till the end of Surah Al-Imran. Inshallah, tomorrow we will begin with Surah Nisa. So Surah Al-Imran, Imran is referring to the father of Maryam, alayhi salam. Al means the family or progeny of someone. So this entire surah, or very large portions of it, talk about the family of Imran, which is referring to Maryam, alayhi salam, is referring to Isa, alayhi salam, Zakariya, alayhi salam, and Yahya, alayhi salam. And the surah also discusses specifically the battles of Badr and the battle of Uhud. The connection with the previous surah in relation to this surah is that the last surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, ends off with saying, فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, so that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us against those non-Muslims that are out to harm us. And that is the dua that's being made. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about many, many different prophets that were in a way attacked or threatened by non-Muslims during their time. Zakariya alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam were both murdered. And Isa alayhi salam, according to Christians, was murdered, but according to us, of course, he was saved. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the battle of Badr and Uhud, which it practically is showing, it's of course talking about a military campaign, but again, it's a response to that dua to help us against those that are non-Muslims. Going forward, the surah talks about Tawheed, it talks about the transience, or how this world is going to be of very little value. It's going to go away, it's temporal, it will end at any time. There's a very, very important verse that is mentioned in the surah that many of us may have heard, of course. It's, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the people that if you say, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you're saying that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the way to show that love is فَاتَّبِعُونِي, by following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is followed, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, then Allah will do two things. If you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then one, Allah will love you as well, and number two, He is going to forgive you. Now, regarding this ayah, we need to all realize what our reality is as a human being. That in reality, this body that we're seeing on the outside, it is not what we are truly. Our soul is the real us, not this body on the outside. This body is simply a vessel. This vessel is simply a vehicle that has our soul inside it, and we are taking it with us to the akhirah. So this body that you're seeing and everything that it faces, it is simply like a vehicle we're taking on our journey to the hereafter, to the akhirah, to the day of judgment. And the ultimate destination, of course, is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not this world. And it would be very foolish of someone to ever make a plan for travel to a different city, and when they make that plan, they save up all of the money that they have and they spend it on the vehicle, the car, the bus, and they leave nothing for the actual destination. It would be very foolish. So the same goes for our soul's journey from here to the akhirah. If we spend everything in this world, then it's foolish, because the destination is not this world. This body is only a vessel. Now Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah mentions that the great pious Shaykh Sahil ibn Sa'ad rahimahullah mentioned, he said that عَلَامَةُ حُبِّ اللَّهِ حُبُّ الْقُرْآنِ, that this ayah talks about the love of Allah. So he says that the sign of the love of Allah is that you love the Qur'an. And the sign that you love the Qur'an is حُبُّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وسلم, that you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sign that you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is حُبُّ السُّنَّةِ, that you love his sunnah. وَعَلَامَةُ حُبِّ اللَّهِ وَحُبِّ الْقُرْآنِ وَحُبِّ النَّبِيِّ وَحُبِّ الرَّسُولِ, and the sign that you love Allah, you love the Qur'an, you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you love the sunnah, is that you love the hereafter. So if you are always thinking about the hereafter, when you make any decision in life, you're making it according to the hereafter, that shows that you love Allah, you love the Quran, you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you love the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now getting back to what we were talking about, whatever difficulties we may face in this world, especially looking at the situation today with this pandemic, whether these difficulties are physical, mental, emotional, psychological, financial, whatever they are, all these difficulties are coming upon this vessel that we have that is taking us to the Akhirah. It's coming on this outer body. And once these difficulties hit our outer body, our reaction determines how it will affect our soul. Just because we get hit by a calamity or hit by anything, it does not mean our soul is going to suffer negatively, which is our real selves. So how do we know what our reaction should be in these situations? This ayah is telling you exactly what your reaction should be. Follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all effects we feel on our outer vessel, on our outer body, will not affect our soul negatively. In this pandemic, it is the best time to see how we fare in making our journey to the Akhirah. Since for quite a number of people, their journey in this world has already ended. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. But that is a possibility. So that is one important lesson we can take from this ayah. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the story of Imran, Maryam radiallahu anha, Isa alayhi salam. He tells us to call the people of the book, to the Jews and the Christians and other non-Muslims, to Islam, because Islam is the true religion, the true message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that links all the prophets together. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next juz tells us that you can never gain birr, piety, until you spend from that which you love. That tells us that compromising on things that we love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the easiest means to gain the love of Allah, which is very obvious. When you love someone, you compromise for their sake. We love our children, we compromise for their sake. We love our spouses, we compromise for their sake. We love our parents, we compromise for their sake. If you do not compromise for someone, then that shows you don't have love. So you must compromise for Allah to show your love. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, that not having a difference of opinion and staying united is very important. I'm not going to talk much about this, but I want to mention one point regarding unity. Forcing others to conform to your ideals and beliefs is not unity. That's arrogance. And tolerance of other people's ideas and ideals, that's humility. That's unity. So if they are a group of people together, them tolerating each other is unity. Not one trying to say, let's all do what I want to do. That's not unity. That's not unity at all. That's arrogance. That you're saying what you're saying is right, and everyone must follow it. Moving forward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about how kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas, you are the best of people that have been brought out. And the reasons Allah lists are for being the best is تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that you enjoin others to do good and you forbid people from doing evil. It's very easy to tell people to do good deeds, but it's very hard to stop them from doing evil. Then Allah says وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and you believe in Allah. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in this surah about the battle of Uhud, the battle. There are many, many lessons we learn from the battle of Uhud about those that commit wrong, those that prefer the akhirah, and if you turn back, those that prefer this world, and how Allah can forgive you too for that. There are many, many things. I'll just mention one lesson Allah tells us in this surah, إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah is helping you, then no one can overcome you. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. But if Allah is not going to help you and He abandons you, then who is going to help you after Allah? So we should remember that always have hope and tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One last ayah that I wanted to talk about here is, which is very important, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the month of Ramadan, and in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Ramadan is once again about لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, becoming the muttaqeen, becoming those who fear Allah. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah has prepared Jannah, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, for the muttaqeen, for those people that want to gain the taqwa of Allah, which is our goal in Ramadan. Then Allah describes the muttaqeen. He gives qualities. So Ramadan is to gain taqwa, but what are these qualities that help us gain this taqwa? And this is a great time to test out where you stand. This situation we have today with the pandemic, this is a very good time to test out if you have these qualities or not. What are those qualities? Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, the muttaqeen are those that spend in times of prosperity and adversity. They spend when everything is going good for them. They have a lot of money, and they also spend when they don't have a lot of money and things are going bad. Right now, people are losing jobs. There are pay cuts happening. People are having a loss in business. Test yourself now. When you were all good and happy and everything was going good, you were spending. But what about waqdarra? Spending when you are facing adversity, are you still spending or not? That is a sign of being amongst the muttaqun. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Those people that swallow their anger. كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. They're swallowing their anger. When they get angry, they take it in and they don't lash out. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they are forgiving people. On April 17th, ABC News had an article where they mentioned that several attorneys are predicting a rise in divorce case filings due to this pandemic, due to COVID-19. And it's not happening right now because there's limited access to the courts. One of the New York's divorce attorneys mentioned, quoting them, "When those restrictions are lifted, I have no doubt that there will be an overwhelming number of filings for divorce. The president of the American Academy of Matrimony Lawyers reports, we are fielding calls right now from people who are tired of being in the same house with each other. So right now, this is the time to test your temper and your quality of mercy, because you are forced to be with with certain people that you're going to see all day throughout the entire day. People are becoming angered at their spouses. People are becoming angered at their children, whether it's because of homeschooling or now there's just too much time with them, they don't have free time. And people are becoming angered at their coworkers because now, because of the online communication gap, it's very difficult to communicate with people and people are just bursting out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the next quality of those people that are muttaqeen is they swallow their anger and they forgive. This is a perfect time to see, are you swallowing your anger and are you forgiving people? The third quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. That people who commit vile forms of sin, not regular sins, fahisha, really, really bad, vile sins, those people that commit those sins or any wrong, but once they've committed those wrongs, they remember Allah first and they ask Allah for forgiveness. That is the fourth and last quality mentioned. And now we've all committed many wrongs. And now in this situation of COVID-19, Allah has forced us to do what the second half of this verse is saying. Reflecting and remembering Allah. When we were all busy and we were not stuck in our houses, we were busy. We were going to work, we were going here, going there, going to people's houses, da'wahs are happening, whatever it is. But now Allah has forced us. You're still committing wrong. No one can save themselves from sin. But zakarullah fastaghfaru li dhunubi. You're stuck in your house. So now you must remember and reflect about your life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no excuse if you don't do this now. Before we were busy, before we were to go out more, we had the driving time, commute, all of that stuff, it's all gone. So now Allah has put us in a situation where we have to reflect over ourselves and what we've been doing in our lives. So the fourth quality is they do wrong, they commit sins, but then they think about zakarullah. They remember Allah and they ask for forgiveness from Allah. And this third one has this last thing that I mentioned about people committing sins and asking the sins from Allah. This has another condition added onto it. What is it? وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلُوا. That these people, they don't insist on committing the wrong that they've committed. And right now, because we are forced into our homes, there are many sins we may have been committing outside that Allah has forced us to no longer commit anymore. Whether it could be backbiting in gatherings, whether it's curtailing and destroying the rights of our neighbors, the rights of our friends, the rights of our co-workers, the rights of our classmates, our colleagues, negatively impacting our relationship with our families, Allah has forced them into a situation where we can't even do those things anymore. So in this pandemic, we can ask Allah for forgiveness for our sin and tell Allah that we will not insist on doing it in the future. Why? Because at this point, we can't even do it. It's impossible for us because we're stuck in our homes, at least for the sins that involve other people, like backbiting and hurting others, we're forced to not even do those. Of course, there are some sins which we engage in at home as well. That's a different topic. So the important lesson is this ayah shows us, and one other very important thing that is a hope for all of us is, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing His mercy. We're all trying to become the muttaqoon, those that have taqwa, and that is the highest level you can reach. That is who the guidance of the Quran is for. But who are the muttaqeen? This is a very interesting point here. The muttaqeen, based on this ayah, are those people that are regularly having an income coming in. Otherwise, how are they spending in good times and in adversity? They are people that have a regular income. They're always working. There are people that have they're facing situations where they become angry. There are people that are in situations where they are wronged by others, which is how they forgive in the first place. There are people that are committing acts of vile sin. That's who they are. The muttaqeen are people that are committing those vile acts of sin. There are people that are committing wrong. But after all of these things, they ask Allah for forgiveness. So if you are someone, or we are someone, that we're busy earning our livelihood, we're people that become angry, we're people that wrong other people, we're people that are committing vile acts of sin which we would not like to be exposed to anyone, we're people that are committing wrong, that's okay. Those are all qualities of the muttaqeen, as long as once those things happen, you act in accordance to what Rasulullah ﷺ taught us in connection with the previous ayah. So take benefit from this pandemic. Allah is giving us a chance to advance to the realms of the muttaqeen. Have hope in the mercy of Allah. I'll end off with one hadith that's in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, to give us some hope. Rasulullah ﷺ said that I know the last person that is going to enter into Jannah and the last person that is going to come out from it. And then he said that there's also going to be a rajulun, in another narration, nasun, a group of people. They're going to be a group of people. They're going to be brought forth in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. And then they're going to be told, i'aridu alayhi sighar. The angels are going to be told, show this person all of his sighara dhunubihi, all of his minor sins. So what's going to happen is, this person is fatu'aradu alayhi sighara dhunubihi. He's going to see all of his minor sins in front of him. And he's going to be told, عَمِلْتَ يَوْمَ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَكَذَا. You did this day, you did this, this and this. You did this, this and this. You did this, this and this. And the person is going to say, نَعَمْ. لَا يَسْتَطِيُ أَنْ يُنْكِرَ. He won't be able to deny any of it. He'll have to say, yes, I did this. Yes, I did that. Yes, I did that. وَهُوَ مُشْفِقٌ مِنْ كِبَارِ ذُنُوبِهِ أَنْ تُعْرِضَ عَلَيْهِ. And he's going to be in fear that my major sins are also going to be coming out very, very soon. What am I going to say about those? So then that person is going to be told, فَإِنَّ لَكَ مَكَانَ كُلِّ سَيِّئَةٍ حَسَنًا. Every single sin that you committed, minor or major, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell the angels, change all of them to good deeds. So then that person is going to say, يَا رَبِّي, O my Lord, قَدْ عَمِلْتُ أَشْيَاءَ لَا أَرَاهَا هَاهُنَا. There's so many bad deeds I did, I don't see them here. You didn't mention them, you just said make all of them into good deeds. I don't see them here. So then when this happens, the narrator of this hadith, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, mentions, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ضَحِكَ حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِذُهُ. Rasulullah ﷺ didn't say anything. He just started smiling so much where his teeth could be shown as well. This shown that, of course, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to seek out his mercy and gain this in this month of Ramadan. وَأَخُدْ عَوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.